Good morning, everyone, and thank you so much, Lauren, for taking the responsibility for that warm and inviting, informative introduction. Really appreciate it. So I just want to ask, just check in, everybody, that you're muted. And I think I see everyone on screen. Well, thank you so much again for being here. And I want to start with a poem. Since Lauren did such a wonderful introduction, and I'm going to be skipping over some of the things, so not to repeat. But this is a lovely introduction to the body. And this is from the book, The First Free Women, by the nun Ambapali. It's called The Guardian of the Mango Forest. All the hairs on my body used to buzz like black bees whenever I was touched. Now they're like the hairs on dead bark. This is the story of how one thing changes into another. I used to wear flowers in my hair. Hours after I walked by, you could take a deep breath and know I had passed that way. These days, I still leave some scent behind, but most would rather I didn't. My hair used to flow down like black silk river. My body was a port for all travelers. But those waters have long since dried up, and ships plan their routes around other stops. Things change, they just do. My eyes were once deep, dark pools. Men got lost in them. That's how I remember it now, anyway. It's hard to know what's true and what to believe in when true beauty so quickly turns into this. How did such a perfect nose turn into this funny little potato? And what's the point of earlobes? Are they just there to hang trinkets from? You out there, do you have teeth? Are they white or yellow? Straight or crooked? Sooner or later, they're all coming out. That's just how it is. These hands once danced and played like two sisters on a stage. Now they just sit around all day like peppers, drying and cracking in the sun. How could we have let it matter so much? Knowing that someday it would all come to this. You were beautiful once, or maybe you're still beautiful. Tell me, where will you go when it all falls apart? But maybe you're not ready just yet to take to the open road all alone. For now, just see the body as a house you're renting for a short time. Make the heart your home. Please, stop telling yourself you have all the time in the world to change your life. Yeah, Buddha. Oh, gotta start my timer. The Buddha is said to be a doctor with great medicine to cure our dis-ease and purify our minds of greed, hatred, and delusion. As Lauren said, the four foundations are introduced by the Buddha as the only way to purify our minds and overcome sorrow, grief, suffering, and clinging to sensual desire. And these four foundations, I've heard other words used to describe them, fields, aspects, colors or flavors even of experience present in any given moment, which can be the four foundations all together. They arise together. I like to think of the Buddha too, not secluded, only talking to monks. Villagers were there. He spoke in villages. And I love what I read recently, that 7-year-olds became arahants because they could follow instructions. So through the body, we become disenchanted that it doesn't last. And with the disenchantment, we see through the solidity that the self is the center of all our experience. And through this wisdom, we see clearly the truth of all existence and its inherent suffering. So the outcome of the realization of clear seeing is freedom, a spaciousness, a connectivity, a compassion, not only for our own lives, but for the welfare of all beings. Just by contemplating, for instance, body is body. In this way, we deconstruct and root out our attachments, desires, and personalization. I like to use the word, he weans us from our fascination, our intoxication, and obsession that this body will provide lasting sensual pleasure and beauty. He asks us to take it apart literally and look at the body parts to reveal its repulsiveness. And he shows us that it's impermanent, not in our control. Willpower. We have no control over its functions. And we cannot prevent it from wearing out and stop working altogether. But it's natural to be attached to the body because we experience the body through the senses. The eye is always on fire due to sight being the predominant sense. And this is due to our DNA, where we have lusty, selfish genes that are designed to survive pleasure procreation. It's not personal. And the Buddha likened this to holding a leash with 6 animals pulling you in different directions. Mindfulness of the body sets a firm post in the center, and we reset the post by returning to the breath or a felt sense of the body. And when the body is rooted in mindfulness, it can receive the senses as an open container, just like the sky holding the clouds or the ocean holding the waves. The body exists under laws of nature. This may sound kind of sciencey, but I kind of enjoy it though. It is nature. It represents all form. We talk about, and we'll talk about more the elemental properties in a moment, but it's not under the order of the egoic will. We cannot force our body to be healthy when it's ill or stop aging and death. Because we cannot will it to be or not be like this or that, we have dukkha, suffering. And the body does represent the first noble truth, the truth of suffering. Joseph Goldstein notes, we usually don't see the suffering of the body because we get 8 hours of sleep, 3 meals a day. We drink plenty of fluids. Our basic needs are met. But there are billions of people hungry, dysentery, without safe water. They're not able to cover up their suffering. But the Buddha, too, misunderstood the body. First through self-indulgence as a prince whose every need was met, and later through self-mortification. Then he set out on his spiritual journey after seeing sickness and death, and later a monastic. And due to his persistence, sincerity, skill, and insight, he discovered this middle way, the Four Noble Truths and the path leading away from suffering and its causes. So no matter where you are in the spiritual journey, the body is the only refuge that's truly present in the moment. So when we discover there's no me in the body, we can later begin to explore there's no me in the mind, which others will talk about today too. The body is a doorway through which we meet the other fields. But no matter what stage you're in practice, the mindfulness of the body is where we begin and it's where we end. We never stop practicing with the body. And the body as teacher, as the Buddha put it, it is within this fathom-long body that the whole Dhamma is revealed. So in the Satipatthana Sutta, the Buddha details six contemplations of the body. The first is mindfulness of breathing. His instructions to monks and villagers listening to his talks are to sit down. There are four postures, standing, walking, lying down, and sitting. In a place that's conducive to meditation, sit up straight. And with mindfulness, know the movement of the breath. So ever mindful, breathing in. Know you're breathing in. Mindful, know you're breathing out. And there is an entire sutta, the Anapanasati, that offers a beautiful six-stage process of a direct path to liberation right through a breath meditation. And the second contemplation is on postures of the body or bodily activities. The instructions are to know what the body's doing at any given time. When walking, sitting, standing, reaching, or lying down. Have you ever been driving in your car and you're like down the road and like, oh my God, I don't even know how I got here. I'm not in my body. We're to clearly know what's happening as the body moves in any given moment or not moves, knowing where your body is. Sounds simple, but this is it. It's very difficult sometimes. This helps us engage meditation and daily life practice as we remember to be aware of the body while cooking, reaching, cleaning, or during transitions of moments, such as sitting to standing, standing to walking, or even in bed to awakening in the morning or going to bed at night. And the third contemplation adds on to that by saying, apply clear comprehension to these activities of movement. Being aware when your attention is absent and when it's present, and know why your movement has changed. So it's considering the motivation or intention behind your movement. We so quickly reach for something, we don't think about why we're reaching. But we want to examine that a little bit more in this contemplation. What are the causes and conditions that prompt movement of the body? As I reach for the second helping of food, am I aware of the craving or the aversion to feel something? As I stretch my leg, am I aware of the aversion present due to discomfort? And the fourth reflection is on the repulsiveness of the body. So this is not to say we shouldn't enjoy a beautiful body. Remember, clinging is an attachment, is the bait that leads to suffering. So the repulsiveness of the body, the Buddha's prescription is to extinguish the lust and preoccupation with the sensual pleasure of the body. Well, just consider a young monk. You know, they, from my experience in Thailand, you know, they ordain in elementary school in nine or in their teens, traditionally, and maybe younger if they're placed there as children without parents. So he can't settle down if his mind is filled with a cloud of lust. The Buddha's instructions are the antidote. He counters the idea of a beautiful body by taking it apart. And there are contemplations for 32 parts of the body. And just all you have to do is consider the hair on your head or on your body, nails, teeth, and skin. So the image is something like, what if you took all your hair, your nails, your teeth, your skin, piled it up on your porch? How does that make you feel about the body? And where are you in that pile? So when does a body part become you? So when we realize there's no me in the body part, and there's nothing sexy about a pile of teeth or bones, we start to loosen our attachment and identity with the body as me and mine. Analayo says, Bhikkhu Analayo says, we can disassemble clinging to a sense of selfhood and cut it up into little pieces. The fifth reflection is on material elements. Our body and the external world are made of the same stuff. Earth, wind, fire, water. When I first heard of the elements and their felt sense properties, I immediately set to investigate my hip flexor pain. I was given new language and a skill to hold and examine within that pain. It gave me permission to question that it was permanent and solid. Instead, I noticed shooting, pulsing, burning, tingling, wide, tight. Sensations were appearing and disappearing. And the more I relaxed and just observed it, there was no commentary about, a contraction around pain and my body's pain. So the mind learned to settle as the body taught me about itself and its subtle energetic properties. I could also see into my motivation for moving, aversion, fear, and how I could respond with discernment instead of doubt, habit and doubt. Just doing a time check. What I didn't know at the time, too, was I was divesting in this sense of self, because it wasn't me who hurt. I was just witnessing a dance of elemental properties arising and passing away. Joseph Goldstein says, in meditation, we move away from the concept of body to the awareness of the body as a changing field of energy. At the same time, this contemplation reveals the utter connection of all matter on earth. How can this not lead to compassion when we know in our bones we share this finite existence together with all things? And I love to quote this Rodney Smith, his words too. When we divest in the fascination of the body or that it needs to be improved, it starts to get quiet and we start to experience its stillness, ease, and contentment. Our lives move beyond the thought-based intellect and move toward the intuitive felt sense of knowing the body, and we begin to see the outside world not as separate or external from us. The last contemplation is called Contemplation on Death and Nine Cemetery Contemplations, but it's an opportunity, again, to reflect on our own impermanence and the impermanence of others. I love this expression of it. Analayo says, when we train in the art of dying, we train in the art of living. Life is here only in this moment. Death is certain. I'm not exempt. How does our practice bring this truth to our daily lives? How can we contemplate the fact that everything we do today, we do one less time, with one less breath, one less drive to the store, stand in line, breathe in and out? Every day I practice awareness of death in my car, I breathe in and say, this inhale could be my last. And then I breathe out, this exhale could be my last. It brings the moment so clearly into focus and just things, worries just fall away. And I've just found there's this access to a balance, a groundedness in that moment. It's like you can face anything. There's an energetic response that opens up. So thinking about our own death and decay of the body that one day will turn to crumbling bones cauterizes this attachment to the body as beautiful and mine. The Buddha and monastics were able to look at dead bodies, go sleep in graveyards, basically. And again, they asked, when does the body cease to be a body or a person? When the Buddha contemplated this, Anilayo writes, he allowed the truth that he himself, subject to the same fate of death, sunk into his mind. As a result, intoxications with being alive vanished. And what they discovered, why oftentimes you hear, the body parts, taking the body apart, because what I've read about is that when monks see that the body parts, you see no person. But when the body is still attached, bone, sinew, muscle, you see person. So that's why we focus on the parts. So the Buddha instructs us again and again on to abandon what's not ours. He helps us to see the body belongs to nature and it's impermanent. Its nature is to suffer. It's not that we don't care for it and love it. Our body holds our whole journey, our hearts, our emotional body. We care. We feel through the body. And mind. And there are five recollections to see our impermanent nature and to help us live more fully, meet difficulties, and joy with equal balance and availability. And they are, I am the na and these are recollections to add to your morning practice if you have not already. I am of the nature to grow old. I cannot avoid growing old. I'm the nature to get sick and ill. I cannot avoid getting sick and ill. I'm of the nature to die. I can't avoid death. I am of the nature to lose everyone I love and all that is dear to me due to change. I cannot avoid losing everyone I love and all that is dear to me due to change. Ajahn Chah had a favorite cup, I believe, or bowl. It's not to say don't enjoy beauty. Have that favorite cup, but recognize it's already broken. And when we do that, there's a lightness in the beauty. The only thing I take with me, the permanent luggage I carry are my actions. My actions are my true belongings. Oh, I love that for setting my intention. Really puts the peg in the hole. So I have some practice ideas for us. And, if there's one takeaway, just remember the body exists. During the day, know the body exists. Discover the simplicity and ease of a moment, knowing the body exists, sitting in the car, walking, seeing. And notice when you reach for the AC, the jacket, or snack. When you're in a moment of discomfort, linger in the suffering a little before you take action to comfort yourself. And when you're experiencing sensual pleasure or aversion about your body or someone else's, recall that it's a collection of parts, nails, teeth, skin, and bones, and hair. Can you become less attached, knowing it's not a source of lasting happiness and that there is no you there? And when a body part is sore or injured, investigate its elemental properties instead of I'm hurting or, my arm hurts. We want to flesh that out a little bit. Note ache, heavy, light, loose, tingling, hot. Can you experience pain as a changing condition or sensations? And then finally, when life on the surface begins to boil, turn inward and attend to that cool garden within. While sitting, lying down, walking, connect with the sensations of the breath. Feel the body resting on earth. Can you allow a gentleness and ease and well-being to emerge and allow your heart to be touched? We're just going to let that settle a little bit. Taking a deep breath if you'd like. Thank you for listening. We're going to explore through a guided meditation now, our body. I will ring the bell once to begin and three times to end. If you hear the bell, just let the bell's sound fall on you. Rather than seek it out, let it come to you. Just wash over you. If you'd like, you can shift your body side to side. Taking a few deep breaths to arrive. No, there's a sitting posture, lying down posture, a standing posture you can take. Just allow yourself to relax and yet have an alertness. Perhaps a curiosity might be a better word. We have all the time in the world. Nothing to do. What a beautiful spa for the mind and body, this moment. And breathing in. No, I'm breathing in, breathing out. No, I'm breathing out. allowing the body and the mind to meet each other, to return to each other. Consider Anilayo's words that the mind rests on the body, just as the body rests on the cushion. Grounding ourselves in the direct, bare knowing of your experience. The breath is where I'll be focusing, but you can use sound, tactile sensation, breath helps us know where we are mentally and physically. Notice sensations that might have arisen since the beginning. Allow yourself to feel the heaviness of the body as it rests on earth. Tune into the pelvis for this, or wherever you feel a sense of pressure or solidity. Taking in the weight of the bones in your body. In the hips. The long thigh bones. Feet. Arms, hands, Where do you sense softness? The belly? The chest? Under your arms? opening to the breath as if it's a blanket over the entire body. With mindfulness, feel the breath through the whole body. Taking some full deep breaths to access this full body sensation. The breath is appearing and disappearing. Can you cover its entire appearance and disappearance with your awareness? What is the journey, really? If you feel yourself contracted by that notion, just remember there's a body. The body is already breathing. Just watching the whole process. Begin again. As mindfulness of the breath is a tether, allowing other senses to come in contact, hearing smelling. Can you stay in the direct knowing rather than knowing the concept or name of something as it arises? What is hearing without noting bird? How wonderful not to know. For the rest of the meditation, just sit back and watch all the visitors today passing through, emotions and thoughts too. Just remain alert, mindful, clearly knowing what's present. And let the breath tug you back to this moment. Remembering to let go over and over with the joy that each moment is new. bringing the body and mind together, knowing what is directly in front of you, breath, scent, taste, sounds, thoughts, feelings, sensations, without judgment, without agenda, let go of any technique and just receive. Clearly knowing.